We come to the, if you've not realised it before, the high point of our meeting, our Bible reading, and as it were, this is how God speaks to us, like any page of a book, from a journalist or otherwise. This is God now speaking. We can take this anywhere with us. We have our Bibles. We're encouraged to read at home, on the trains, in the parks, anywhere. Isn't it marvellous? We can have God speak, and we're going to do that right now, just before David comes and opens this word up. Let me pray. Father, we are so grateful indeed you've not kept silent, but you have clearly spoken to us and made yourself known to us through the Lord Jesus. He is your perfect word. What a magnificent person your Son is, majestic and splendid. There is no person like him. And Father, we thank you that you sent him into this world to bring us peace and reconciliation, forgiveness of sins, and then to invite us also to be partners in your gospel, to take this saving word to everyone that they might hear and have their hearts changed and a new life, a fresh start with you. And we pray, Father, this morning again, give us fresh eyes, fresh ears, and open hearts to hear anew what you have to say to us. And then, Father, provoke us to submit ourselves to it and walk by it as your Spirit leads us to Jesus this week. In Christ's name, amen. Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because he heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
Thanks, Ken. Let's pray. Father, as we open up this word, we pray you would prepare us. We pray that your word would do its work upon our hearts, and you would take away any wrong attitudes, any wrong loves, any wrong priorities, and help us to align our heart, our attitude, our love to yours. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How highly do you think of yourself? What's your view of yourself? Very often we have a very inflated view of ourselves. Here are some thoughts, some quotes by different celebrities on why they are the greatest. Okay, so here is Jaden Smith, the rapper. Here's what he says. He says, "I don't think I'm as revolutionary as Galileo, but I don't think I'm not as revolutionary as Galileo." There's a guy. Okay, there's Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player. And here is a quote on why fans boo him. He says, "It's surely because I'm good looking, rich, and a great footballer. They're jealous of me." All right, what about Quentin Tarantino, the filmmaker? Here's what he says about his filmmaking. He says, "I don't make movies for America. I make movies for planet Earth." There's a guy who thinks he's important, isn't it? Okay, or LeBron James, the basketballer. He says, "I'm like a superhero. Call me Basketball Man." Sometimes we just think a bit too highly of ourselves, don't we? And we need to hear these words from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, which say, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." See, what Christianity does is it gives you a brand new reason for valuing others ahead of yourself. See, Jesus Christ is the reason we do that. Jesus Christ, the one who is in very nature God, yet he poured himself out to become one of us. He poured out his life on a cross to die for you and for me. And that, my friends, changes everything. It changes everything, first of all, because now you have a perfect example of the greatest person doing the most humbling thing. And second of all, he did it for you. And that's even more humbling. And we are told in Philippians chapter 2 to imitate Christ, to have his mindset. That's the key word. To have the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you weren't here last week, it's the mindset that is not about grabbing, but it's about giving. It's the mindset that's not about self-glory, but about self-sacrifice. It's the mindset that says, "I will pour myself out so that others can hear the gospel." That's the mindset. Let's think about the logic of what we've been looking at in these pages of this letter to the Philippians. See, Paul has been in jail for speaking and preaching the gospel. And he rejoices, even though he's in prison, he rejoices that others are out there preaching the gospel. And he tells the Philippians to keep striving for this gospel, to strive for it to spread. And he says, "Continue to have the struggle which you've seen that I have. Suffer for the salvation of others." And he gives the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for the sake of others. And he says to them, keep having his mindset. In other words, have the attitude that wants to give and live a life of service, even if it hurts, for the salvation of others. That's the mindset. And now Paul writes in this passage that we're looking at this morning, he says to obey and to work out, to do this. And, you know, a number of you here are teachers, and I'm sure you know that the best teachers, they don't just give you the principle of what they're teaching. They show you how it works in practice, how the principle works in practice, but then they give you examples, don't they? So that you can see this principle at work in the real world. And that's what Paul does in this passage, actually. He tells us about this mindset in principle. That's the first thing. And then he tells us about this mindset in practice, what it looks like in our lives to have this mindset. And then thirdly, he gives us some examples about this mindset. And so that's what we'll look at this morning, the mindset in principle, the mindset in practice, and the mindset in example. So first, the mindset in principle, verses 12 to 13. Look at how this passage starts with the word therefore. Therefore, verse 12, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Therefore, that word therefore is so important. And it goes back to what we were talking about last week. Therefore, given that Christ gave up his rights, you obey by giving yourself to the service of others. Given that Jesus was obedient to death on a cross, you obey by giving yourself sacrificially to others. Given that Jesus is now the Lord and King and he's risen to the highest place, you obey him. Therefore, see, the kind of obedience that Paul is asking for here is the obedience of having an attitude like Jesus Christ. It's the attitude of laying aside me, 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 me. Laying aside my self-interest, my self-promotion, putting that to the side and focusing on others ahead of myself. And he says, work out your salvation in this area. Notice he doesn't say work for your salvation. That's not what he's saying. Because Jesus has already won our salvation. He's done everything for us so that we can be saved. All we need to do is trust him. No, he doesn't say work for your salvation. He says work out your salvation. And we've really got to work out our salvation in this area. We've really got to work out how to serve others. Paul is saying be active. Jesus poured himself out, so work out your salvation about how you're going to pour yourself out for others. You see, what we've got to do is we've got to work out that no matter the cost, no matter the obedience, we've got to consider others as more important than us. That's what humility is. It's the attitude of Jesus. It doesn't happen automatically. You don't wake up one day and you think, today I think I'll be humble. Today I think I'll look ahead to other people more than I look at myself. It doesn't happen like that. The natural tendency for me is to think about myself before I think of other people. And I know you're just like me. No, it's something that comes with decision. It's something that comes with hard work. It comes with discipline. It comes with decision-making. It often comes, I find, after heartache and tears and argument. That's often when it comes. And it works out that work out means to really consider, to plan, to put time into and thought and discussion with other people about how you will become more like Jesus in this area. And Paul says, do it with fear and trembling. In other words, do it with an attitude of awe and reverence and humble dependence before Almighty God. Because when you consider what Jesus did for you, my friends, that should leave you quaking in your shoes. When you think about what it cost him so that you and I can be saved, that should leave us with awe and reverence. Do it with fear and trembling. And Paul gives a reason why we are to do this. Verse 13, he starts with the word for. The word for means that it's not just action that Paul is after, there's motivation as well. Look at, because there's two people at work. Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you to fulfill, to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's God who is at work. See, do you see where God is at work? Where is God at work? Do you see what it says? Look at the words again. It is God who works. Where does he work? In you. Isn't that exciting? God works in you. That's where God is at work. You see, in other words, we're never alone. We're not left alone to work out the Christian life by ourselves. God is at work in us. God is at work moving my stubborn will and changing it so that I want to live his way. God's at work in me, and God's at work in you to energize your efforts. Now, we need to be proactive. We need to work out. But the reason why we do that is because God is working in us. You see, as we pour ourselves out in sacrificial service for others, we're not alone. Don't you like that? We have to be proactive, but God's at work in us. Do you like that balance? Both are at work. You see, we're not solo heroes. We're not like the Christian version of Arnie. You know, Arnie, the solo hero who goes out with his, you know, with all his muscles and his might to go out and save the world, and he does it by himself, right? We're not like Arnie. We have God at work in us. And we're not like a robot. You know what a robot does? A robot just switches off and just does its tasks mindlessly, whatever gets programmed into it. We're not like a robot. No, we have to make decisions, but it's God who is at work in us. And so as you step on and get on with it, you'll find that as you're serving other people, you'll find that God is at work in you, allowing you, energizing you, changing your will so that you want to do it even better. So that's the mindset in principle. Now, let's look at what the mindset looks like in practice. Verses 14 to 18. See, what do you think Paul would say about what this mindset of serving others looks like in practice? Look at verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Oh, grumbling. Do I really need to hear this? Grumbling. I mean, it seems so petty, doesn't it? But let's think about this for a minute. What happens, what takes place in your heart when you grumble and when I grumble? You know what happens when we grumble? Where's our focus? Our focus is upon me. And when we grumble and when we complain, it takes us away from the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you grumble, what it does is it takes you down a pathway of self-centeredness. And you end up in self-pity, and you end up in the victim mentality. You know the victim mentality? When everything that's happened to you is always everyone else's fault. And everything that's happened to you is beyond your control, and you never can, you know, make decisions about your life, and you never take any responsibility because you're the victim. Now, I know there are bad things that have happened to people, all right? But when you're always the victim, when you're always complaining, you know what that does? It just ends up taking control of your heart. And it leads to, it's the fruit of pride and arrogance. And God hates the victim mentality. And what's really chilling here is that Paul borrows language from the book of Numbers, where God's people complained. And they argued after being released from their prisons in Egypt, and they grumbled against their leaders. God's people grumbled against God himself, and their self-centered hearts took control. And that's what Paul is warning us about. See, when we grumble, when we have a grumble, when we have a whinge, we end up blaming God. And we think that it's all about me. And it's all about my circumstances. And it's all about my hardships. See, whenever we grumble, you know, it shows what's really taking place inside our hearts. And Paul says, don't do it. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. But what will give the apostle joy? What will cause the apostle to boast and beam on the last day? Look at verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you'll shine among them like stars in the sky. What will cause Paul joy? It's their blameless conduct. What does that look like? What does that blameless and pure conduct look like? Well, it looks like the brightest stars shining against the blackest of nights, so that everyone can see it. And Paul says, as you hold firmly to the word of life. That word, hold firmly, literally means to hold out, like a flaming torch, to hold it out so that others can see it. What Paul wants is he wants us to hold out the gospel like a torch so that it can shine and so that everyone can see it. That's the mindset, you see. That's the mindset, to hold out the gospel in a world which is crooked and warped and dark. Because when you hold out the word of life, when you offer people eternal life, you're having the mindset of Christ, you see. Because when you do that, when you offer people eternal life, you're really loving them, because hell is for a long time and eternal life is wonderful and it's the best news and it's free and people will hate you for it. But when you do that, you're having the mindset of Christ. It takes courage to hold out the word of life. It takes inconvenience to hold out the gospel. It means having conversations and starting up conversations which you will find uncomfortable and people will think you're weird. But Paul says, work out your salvation, because God is at work in you. God is at work in the conversation. And so be encouraged that God will achieve his purposes. Work out your salvation. It's like the teenager I heard about a few months ago, a teenager who had become a Christian through his youth group, and his parents weren't Christians. And they noticed changes in their teenager's life. And they said to him, son, you've changed. And we want to know what's going on. And he said, let me tell you what's happened in my life. And he said to them, can we sit down and read the Bible together so I can show you why I've changed? And they said, yes. And each week they sat down and they read a section of John's Gospel together. I thought, wow, what a courageous teenager to sit down with your parents who aren't Christians and read the Bible with them. See, there's a kid who has the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Now, do you need living proof of this? You want to see some examples of this worked out in real life? That's what Paul does next. And he tells us the mindset in two examples. One is an example of service, and another is an example of sacrifice. So what Paul does next is he doesn't just give information about people. You know, what he's doing is he's showing us the mindset of Christ worked out in the lives of two men. And usually Paul would wait until the very end of a letter to talk about men like this that he's worked with, but not this letter. He brings them into the body of this letter and he showcases these men, not because they're show ponies to be shown off, but because they're godly examples of men who have the same attitude as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got to say, we're not very good at this in our Australian culture. We're not very good at making heroes out of people who have done good things. We're very good in Australian culture at tearing people down, are we not? And not Paul. He upholds these men as godly examples for all of us to model. And that's how discipleship works, by the way. You know how the disciples learnt how to be disciples? They saw the life of Jesus. They saw what he was like. And that's how Paul calls upon people to be disciples. He says to them, imitate me. And it sounds proud for him to say that for our ears, but it's not actually, because he's calling upon them to have the mindset of Christ. Discipleship is saying to people, look at my life and watch how I live and copy it. That's what discipleship is. See, when you're doing discipleship, you're not so much learning a subject as you're learning a person. You're learning a whole way of life. And Timothy and Epaphroditus are examples for us to follow. Let's look at Timothy first of all. Showcase number one, Timothy. Look at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. See, Paul is sending Timothy so that when he comes back to Paul, he will know how the Philippians are going. Who is Timothy? Verse 22 tells us who Timothy is. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Who's Timothy? He's worked hard with Paul. He's co-authored 6 letters of the New Testament with Paul. He traveled with Paul in his missionary journeys, and he was left in charge of one of the most immature churches in the New Testament letters, the church at Corinth, and he also pastored the church at Ephesus. This is a guy who's worked really hard. And Paul has nothing but praise for Timothy. In verse 20, he says, I have no one else like him. See, Paul looks around and he can't find anyone who reflects Timothy's attitude like him. Not one of his helpers are as outstanding as Timothy. What makes Timothy so outstanding? Verse 20. Who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. See what Timothy's like? He's got the mindset of Christ. And it's not printed in your sheet, but do you remember the words of Philippians 2 verse 4? Where we read, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's Timothy. No one like Timothy is like Timothy, because everyone is interested in themselves. But Timothy, he has the mindset of Jesus. He's got genuine concern for others. His whole life is devoted to the gospel in the life of others. You know, sometimes we think, I'm too busy to be like Timothy. I've got my own job, I've got my own, you know, worries, and, you know, that's true. But can I remind us, busyness is not the same as godliness, is it? Busyness is different to being godly. And the godly example is when we're interested in the welfare of others in the middle of our busyness. And Timothy works out his salvation in service to the Lord and to others. See, Timothy is an example of service. Now, if Timothy is the example of service, then Epaphroditus is the example of sacrifice. Because look at how Paul talks about Epaphroditus. Look at verse 25. I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. Look how he talks about him. My brother, co-worker, fellow soldier. That's high praise, isn't it? Fellow soldier, who is also your messenger. Who is Epaphroditus? He's the messenger. He's the guy who's got the package. He's the guy that the Philippians have sent to Paul while he's in prison to meet his needs. Now, you've got to understand that if you were in prison in Rome, it's not like our modern-day prisons where, you know, there'd be a mealtime and you'd go off to the mess room and you'd sit down with the inmates and you'd eat your food to get... That's not how it works in ancient Rome. Ancient Rome isn't going to give you any food if you're in prison, right? If you're in prison, You'll starve unless somebody from the outside brings you food. That's how it worked. You had to rely upon the help of friends and family to feed you, to provide you with clothing and to look after your needs. And if you were one of those friends or family, you were siding with a guilty prisoner. And you could be very well implicated in their crimes. Verse 30, look at these words. Because about Epaphroditus, he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. See, this guy sided with Paul. He was implicated in his crimes. He, not only that, he traveled 500 miles from Philippi to Rome. He's so concerned for the apostle in chains that it almost kills him. There's a guy who has the sacrificial attitude of Christ, doesn't he? But notice why he did it. Verse 30, he almost died. Why? For the work of Christ. Why did he do it? He did it for the gospel. He did it for the salvation of others. And we are told to honor men like him. Verse 29. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. So friends, there are people amongst us who work hard. There are people who give their time for the service of Christ. There are people in this congregation who give their energies and their sacrifice and their service. And you know who they are. And we are told to honour people like that. I could tell you about a doctor that I know, a guy who's a specialist in his field. And, you know, on a Friday afternoon, he could earn some megabucks. But you know what he did during my time at this church? He would not work on a Friday afternoon. He would put down his surgical tools and he would go along to our church's weekly kids' club. And he would teach the boys about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have earned a mint on a Friday afternoon, but he put that aside because he's concerned for the salvation of these boys. See, there's someone who's got the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or a friend of mine who recently he said no to a promotion. Now, why on earth in this day and age of mortgages and high bills would you say no to a promotion? You know why he did it? So that he could keep leading his Bible study group. Because he wants to be involved in the work of Christ. And a promotion would take him away from that. There's someone who has the mindset of the Lord Jesus. See how it's sacrificial. It's service. And the final example is Paul himself. See what Paul says in verse 17? I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. And I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. See, just as Christ poured himself out and became the sacrifice for us, so Paul pours himself out like a drink offering. He's in prison for the gospel and he rejoices. Oh, friends, what great examples. Examples of putting aside me, me, me. Putting aside that attitude that thinks I am the greatest, putting aside all self-promotion, all self-comfort, all self-interest, all self-centeredness for the sake of others. Why? Because Jesus put aside those things for us. Oh, sharing the gospel is hard. It's inconvenient, but it means having the mindset of Jesus Christ. And every time you and I attempted to be proud and self-centered, the shadow of the cross falls upon us. I want to finish by telling you a story about a guy who's an evangelist in our city and his wife. And they were going shopping one day in Burwood. And a woman was there and she was agitated and she was distressed. And she was a Chinese woman and she was upset because her baby was unsettled, her baby was crying, and she went up to the wife of this evangelist, went up to this woman and said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "No, I'm not. My baby's upset and my mother doesn't speak English and she's wandered off somewhere and I don't know where she is, and she's got my phone and my money, and she was upset. And the wife said to this woman, "Do you want me to help you find her?" And she said, "Yes." And so they spent the next 2 hours wandering over the Burwood Shopping Centre, going through the malls and down the streets, trying to find this poor woman's mother. They eventually called the police, and they found her. And at the end of this ordeal, the Christian wife said to the Chinese woman, she said, "Hey, my church runs a children's group. Would you like to come?" And she said, "Yes." And from that, they started coming to church. And the husband has started coming as well. And they love being at their church. They love all the families that are there. And they're on their way to trusting Jesus. But see, do you see the point? The woman, the wife, had the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it took. And may that be true of us. Because the gospel is wonderful and Jesus is worth it. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, help us to work out our salvation and to have the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that it's you who is the one who is at work in us to will and to fulfill your good purposes. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.